I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 in your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. And when you find your place there in verse number 8 or verse number 9, verse number 8, if you'll stand with me while we'll read that together. Hebrews chapter 11 and I want to begin reading this morning through verse number 8, all right? The Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to put off reading right there and pray, and I trust you'll pray with me and help me this morning, all right, as I do my best to preach the Word of God. Our Father, I do thank you this morning for the liberty in the Sunday school hour to, Lord, just teach your Word. I thank you for the songs we've enjoyed now. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I need your power and your help. I pray that you'll turn, Lord, the lives of sinners unto God. And Father, that you'd revive again the people of the living God. May we rejoice in what's ours in Christ. Yes. I do pray that you'll open up thy word to us this morning. Give us great understanding. Give the preacher liberty and power and unction. Open every heart. And may you be glorified and sinners brought to a saving knowledge of your Son. And I'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, if you recall, on last Tuesday night, that I preached out of this passage of Scripture in verse number 8, and there I preached on the call of Abraham, how that Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and began, how he got his start, how he began his life of faith. And I want to say that every child of God's life is a life of faith. From the beginning unto the end. It's not something that has intermissions in it, but we enjoy that faith and live by that faith from the very beginning unto the end. And today I want to try to look at Abraham's life as he moves. Abraham here moves by faith out of the world and into the glorious life of the children of God. Now that's exactly what salvation is. It delivers a sinner out of the world, and then he lives as a child of Almighty God out of the world. And by the way, the same faith that brought him out of the world will keep him out of the world. The same faith that brings you to Canaan will keep you in Canaan by the grace of Almighty God. And I want to look at this today, if I may, for a little while, in the life of Abraham. This move of Abraham is a manner of life was completely altered. His lifestyle, when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, was completely and totally altered. May I say to you that salvation is a radical change of lifestyle. Brother, it brings a man out of darkness in the light, and it brings a sinner out of death into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Man gets saved or a woman gets saved, they don't visit the same places they used to visit. They don't live the same lifestyle they used to live. Brother, old things are passed away, old things are become new, and the lifestyle that they once knew is no longer lived by a child of Almighty God. Now, you can mark that down in your little black book. But now, this life is a life of faith. Now, I'm going to say more about this tonight, but the life of faith, church, is not without its flaws. Don't you think for one minute that Abraham had a perfect faith, not by no stretch of the imagination. Brother, there were things that came in his life that just wasn't exactly what they ought to be for the honor and the glory of God. But the Bible said there in verse number 8 that he went out. And as Moses went out from Ur of the Chaldees, he embarked upon the course of this life. I want to say to you that every Christian has got a course that God intends for you to follow. Was it not, Brother Paul, when in 2 Timothy chapter number 4,
when it came time for Paul to die, he made this statement. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. And there's a course for you to follow. That's the will of God for your life. I could stop right there and preach all day on the will of God for your life. I say the will of God for your life is to get involved in an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, standing church and set your family on the pews of that church every week and sit under the preaching of the Word of God. I tell you, friends, preaching the gospel will bring a sinner out of the world, and preaching in the pulpit will keep a sinner out of the world. You find yourself a liberal pulpit where there's nothing being preached, you find yourself a drifting right back into the world, and your flesh will lead you right back into the same old sin, the same old lifestyle that you used to live in. But brother, God's got a course for you. Oh, brother Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept my faith. And when God brought Abraham by faith out of Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham began a course of life that God had planned for him. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Long Miss Hall calls me three times a day to eat. I don't give a flip what you call me. But I tell you that God has got a plan for every child of God. When God saved you, it didn't take him by surprise. And when God saved you, he didn't sit down and scratch his head and begin to wonder what he's going to do with you in this life. When God saved you, he saved you for a purpose. And that purpose is God's plan. And that plan is fulfilling the will of God for your life, whatever it might be. That's right. Now, old Abraham, I want us to if you get the full impact of the message, you're going to have to follow me through some of Abraham's life. And that's right. Hebrews 11 don't tell the whole story. The rest of the story is told in the life of Abraham in the book of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to preach his whole life. My God, we'd be here a month. If I preached everything in his life, we'd be here in a month. But he started off on that course. Now, if you've studied back there in the book of Genesis, you'll know that God, when he called Abraham, he commanded him to depart from his country and from his kindred move into a place that God had appointed him to move to. But friend, Abraham wasn't completely obedient in the faith that God had given him. For if you would read with me in chapter 11, verse 31, 32, and 33, or verses 31, 32, and I'm not going to read all of these, but when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he did not leave the family of his kindred. He did not leave his family behind, but Abraham brought his father Terah, and he brought Lot, his cousin, along with him out of Ur of the Chaldees. In fact, it was Terah that took the lead, and old Abraham was a follower of Terah. Now, I'll tell you, the sad, sad part about all that is that Terah settled down in the land of Haran and not in the land of Canaan. Brother, when God called Abraham, he called him to a land that he would show unto him. And it was the land of Canaan, not the land of Haran. But when Terah brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he stopped in the land of Haran, and there he wasted several years in the land of Haran and was unproductive in the work of God. Somebody said, Brother Paul, what's that? Buddy, I feel like prayer back, bless God, and preaching. It's a type of the wilderness wandering of the children of God. Wasted years in the wilderness. That's where some of y'all's living this morning. Wasted years in the wilderness. I talked to one man in church this morning. He said, Brother Hall, it's finalized in my life. I said, what are you talking about? He said, entire sanctification. I'm going on with God. I don't intend to look back. He wasted several years in Haran. And I find that in chapter 11 and verse number 31. They left Ur of the Chaldees, and they came to Haran, and they dwelt there. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm gonna try to show you something. It was at Haran that Terah died. Now, this ain't going to interest some of you will. But it was in the land of Haran that Terah, the father of Abraham, had to die. Now, you hear me well. Abraham had made it to the halfway house. That's where some of y'all was living, in a halfway house. Halfway between the land of blessing and halfway back down yonder in Egypt. Brother, by faith. By faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. And when he was left, a brother was looking for a city that had foundation. He said their maker was God, but he had nothing holding him back. It was a city by the name of Terah that caused him to dwell in the land of Terah and waste the years that God had given him for his glory.
Right.
Now, a halfway house. Can I show you something? In the book of Deuteronomy, now I've wondered for a long time how in the world this could apply or how it was being interpreted as Abraham. But it was. It calls him a he in Deuteronomy 32. And I need to allude here just for a minute to set the stage for the point I'm getting ready to make to you. Deuteronomy 32, and there in verse number 10, it said, "He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness." Now, brother, he didn't find Jacob there. Jacob was born in the land of Canaan. Isaac was born in the land of Canaan. But I'm going to tell you who he found there. He found Abraham there. Here's what it says about Abraham. It said he found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And notice, verse 11, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God in him." Brother, that's talking about the life of Abraham as he lived down in the land of Terah. There came a time when God Almighty had to stir up his nest. He had settled down in Haran, where he was at home in the wilderness, and God had to stir him up to get him out of the wilderness. Get this. Terah, the word Terah means to delay.
Good. Yes, amen.
Right. Terah was Abraham's delay.
Right. Amen. Right.
Terah was flesh.
Amen.
It was the power of flesh.
Yes.
That had delayed the move of Abraham.
Right.
And held him back. Now, boys, get a hold of this.
Good.
The best thing I've had in a long time. But the last statement it says in verse number 32 of that chapter, the very last words in that chapter, Terah died in Haran.
Right.
And when Terah died, Abraham moved out.
Right.
Don't nobody leave me now. Yeah. There had to be death to the flesh before Abraham could ever of the flesh.
Right.
Terah died suddenly. Doesn't say anything about a prolonged sickness. I believe we've got the idea today that dying to self and crucifying the flesh is done by the way of cancer. Just a little at a time. You just die a little at a time. And the process is painful. Painstaking. You're just in agony and misery until you get the job done. But I'm telling you, friend, God does never crucify the flesh. Amen. With cancer.
Right.
God takes a sharp two-edged sword.
Right.
Yes, right. And serves the old heart of man. And cuts away the heart of flesh. Just in one motion in and one motion out. You're done. The work completed. You're saved. Praise the God. I'm taking both cancer. Go down and cut out the sanctified work of the Holy Ghost.
Got a little start, man.
Long way off.
You're a long way off.
Amen.
Brother Elliott Smith called me last night. He said he went to a meeting where Brother Milby preached the other day. And said Brother Milby got up to preach. Said he wanted to preach to the preachers. And said, I want all the preachers to stand up. Said the men of God stood up. And he said, now, he said, if all you've ever done has got you, got the pants off of the women, the hair off the men. Said, don't even bother to stand up.
Said, most of you make better barbers than you do preachers.
Amen.
Heart and a contrite spirit, thou wilt not despise. See, the first thing on that course, there had to be a death to the flesh. Now, you're not going anywhere until that happens. You're not going anywhere with God until that happens. That's right. You just might as well mark it down. That's it. You're done until you learn to do that. God will save you, bring you out, but like that bunch of Jews, you'll die in the wilderness. That's right. You see, I'm talking about that. Hey, look here, desires and wants, and this is more than skin deep, friend.
It shows up more just on the outside. It's a matter of lifestyle. It's a thing of the heart.
Yes.
It's the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, how we walk. It has to deal with integrity and honesty and character and godliness. Amen. Tell the one you know about the truth.
Some of the preachers in the area is listening. This is going to put the noose around Haman's neck and put him in the gallows. You see, the first thing, there had to be death to the flesh. But the very next thing, when he left Haran, when the flesh died and he moved off into Canaan, in chapter number 13, Abraham found himself that found that difficulties always followed.
Right.
Difficulties followed him.
Yes, sir.
You think, buddy, that it's going to be a bed of roses? You're nuts.
Yes,
son, this
This thing of taking up your cross and coming after Christ is a difficult thing. There is always an adversary to oppose you in your course that God called you on. Adversaries. Always difficulties. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what kind of difficulties? I don't have time to read all these verses now. You just going to have to underline them and go back and read them. But in chapter number 12, when Abraham repeats the call there, when the Bible repeats the call that Abraham had already received before he got to chapter number 11 and verse 31, before he left, this is just a call. Chapter number 12 just goes back to what God had already spoken to Abraham. But Abraham there in verse number 4 of that chapter, the Bible said Abraham departed. Oh yeah, he departed from Haran. And he headed for the land of Canaan. And it said, and into the land of Canaan he came. But when the flesh died, he got over into that spirit-filled life where God wanted him to live. Amen. He had a happier home. You men listening to me? Had a happier home. When a man and a wife both are filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes a happier home, a happier lifestyle. It adds pride and makes your kids love you and love Jesus and love the house of God, love the preacher, love the Bible. And come back tonight. I'm preaching today on his course, his country, his city, and tonight I'm preaching on his companion.
Amen.
That's a companion. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But when he left, when he got into the land of Canaan, you know what it says in verse number 6? Abraham passed through the land, into the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was there in the land. Difficulty number one. He met the Canaanites.
Right.
That's right. You're not going to get away from them. I told somebody this morning that if you've got an enemy, that enemy will always find you. You run into them everywhere. You can't hide from them. They'll see you out there. That's right. They'll find you. They'll do that. They're an enemy of yours. And the Bible said that the Canaanite was in the land, and the Canaanite's the power of the flesh. That's everything that Abraham wanted to do for God.
Right.
Opposed his prayer life, opposed his worship, opposed his singing, didn't want to sing in the choir, he didn't want to pray, didn't want to sing in the congregation, didn't want to come to church regular. Abraham didn't want to do anything, he just wanted to sit around and look. That's what the Canaanite tried to do to you.
Amen.
But I like this. I'm about ready. I'm telling you, this is what I'm getting ready to tell you about some of the preachers, and I hope let them go down listening to what I'm getting ready to preach. Maybe it'll help them out, sir. No, look what it says. The Canaanite was in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram.
Amen.
The Canaanite was there.
Somebody else.
But the Bible said the Lord appeared unto Abram.
Did
it ever occur to you? Did not one time did ever say anything about Abraham setting his eyes on the Canaanites in the land?
That's right.
I think I got something written down here. The Lord had given, the Canaanite was in the land, but the Lord had appeared unto Abram. And that Canaanite was in the land, but the Lord had given Abraham a promise. And it was upon that promise that his heart found repose.
Right.
Therefore, he was occupied not with the Canaanite, but with the Lord who had given him the pledge.
Right.
You know what they're doing? They're going to do it, Canaanite.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Right.
nice for him to back off from it.
Right, preacher. Go ahead.
Right.
Oh, they are a problem today. Some real open in everything in the world.
Hey! Hey.
That's right.
I'm just brushing through these. Then the next thing that I find in chapter 13 and verse number 10, there was a famine in the land. That I've got it alliterated this way or alliterated, everybody say that word. There was a dearth. There was death of the flesh in his course. There was difficulties that followed. And then there was a dearth or a famine that brought fear in Abraham's life. Do you know what Abraham done when the famine hit? Head right back down into Egypt.
Right.
He headed into the world.
Right.
That's why I said his faith was not perfect. I say this again tonight. The faith is something that grows. It is a virtue that grows, and it was not yet perfect. There were flaws in it, but thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. In the final analysis, God brought Abraham through and gave him the blessing to get through. Way back in chapter 11.
Amen.
But there was a dirt. Now, you hear me well. Hey, we, you know what we'll do? We'll begin to fear when the famine comes.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of y'all in here, you shout. You ain't shouting.
Hey,
brother. Go ahead, brother.
What's wrong with you?
Give up.
Preach. Is your soul a little lean?
Preach.
Go ahead, preach.
All right.
Help.
Right, maybe you're wanting something God don't want you to want.
That's right.
Yeah, but you read the book of Psalms. People of God say, what is me? And God granted unto them.
Yeah, but
their request, when he said, please us unto their soul, he shall stand unto their
soul. Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You see what you're doing? You're doing exactly what I just preached.
Right.
You're looking at the draft. You're looking at the famine and wondering what in God's name. And the devil has got you in hoodwink. He's got you thinking on that famine and all your problems, and you need to turn your affection to Jesus.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Think about his goodness.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How can you not? How can you come to Jesus and not get a little happy in your life?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Thank God when my mind goes back to where it brought me from.
Yes.
And his wonderful love. You just meditate on his love.
Yes.
I'm not going to find a preacher on this verse of scripture, but I just want to preach for a little while on God's amazing grace.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
When
Eliezer came back with Rebecca. He saw Isaac sitting at the field at eventide meditating. What do you reckon he was thinking about?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what he's thinking about. He's thinking about Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Folks, I'm telling you, he is a medicine for your soul.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
Amen.
He is a bomb of human sanity.
Yes.
He will lift up the fallen, mend the broken, set at liberty the captives, open the eyes of the
Lord. Yes.
Deliver all of his mental spots. He'll take an old sinner that's as crooked as he is.
Yes.
That's in the world and make it draw a straight line. I don't see how it can, but God can put his hand to that old crooked sinner.
Yes.
Yes, thank God.
Yes.
As he possibly can. Oh, yeah, this course has got, this course has got different.
This church.
this ministry and my family and my wife before.
I worry about somebody else in another church.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Preach.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Some bitter hearted.
Right.
I said, bitter hearted preacher that is bitter. And amen. Will not get right with God now.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise, preacher.
And always trying to pass problems off on somebody else.
Right.
Amen.
You better be careful. You create your own problems sometimes,
right?
Amen.
That's right. Dogmatic, hard-headed, thick-skulled flesh. My way. I'm going to do it this way. It's my way.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to try to run this church the way I think is best to run it. But I called them in right in there Tuesday night. And I talked to them about the possibility of borrowing money, buy a computer for that session, get a little money to get this building under the roof, and roofing our building here needs roofing. And those men, some of them started making suggestions, and they said, well, Paul, before we do that, let's try to take up the money, let's try to raise the money in the church, raise the money on the radio, and let's see what we can do before we go up. I didn't jump up and down, come out here this morning, and bless God. You need to learn to follow me. This is the way to go. Hey, no, sir. If we can raise the money by faith, hallelujah.
Yeah,
hey, we've always got another alternative. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not going to craft my opinions down your throat. I'm going to preach to you the word of God. Hey, sir.
Amen.
I didn't listen to what you're about to say.
Amen.
I
didn't
say I always do what you say, but I ain't right to preach your gospel.
Right.
Amen.
A man that will not is a fool.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. A preacher that will not listen to the people that he pastors is a fool.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
That's right. And there was a division. Now I imagine there'll be more of them before this thing's over in the course. Now I've got to hurry. It's already 12:30. Now there's his course. I want to look a little bit at his country. At his country. In our text. In our text, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise. Notice what it says about that country. It was a strange country.
Right.
Now, I hope that didn't kill the spirit. Strange country. A strange country.
Right.
Notice this. The same faith that brought him out of his old country kept him in the strange country. Son, the same faith that brought you out of sin, now the world will keep you in the land of Canaan, buddy. That's right. It'll keep you there. Now notice what it says. It says that he dwelt in a strange land. Abraham was conscious of where he was. I have a hard time saying that word. But he was conscious of where he was. He realized that he wasn't where he used to be, but he also wasn't where he was going either. He was in between places. And the land that he was dwelling in wasn't a permanent land. It was not the city that he looked for, but it was a country that God brought him to. And it was a strange land.
Right.
Amen. It was a strange land. Now, listen to this. Though a Christian is still in the world, he is not of the world.
Amen.
Nor must he cultivate the friendship of the world. He may use it as necessity required, but he must ever be on his prayerful ground against abusing it. Hey, that's right. We're in this world, folks.
Right.
And it necessitates us to use this world. But we better not abuse our privileges and rights that we have in this world.
Right.
That's right. It's just a strange land. I'm just a passing through. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. And he was conscious of where he lived. Are you conscious of that? That you're here, but you're not. This is not your final resting place.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm fixing to nail something down. I'm probably going to hurl it about half of you. He was conscious of where he was, but Abraham was content with what he had.
Amen.
The Bible said that he dwelt in tents. Now you mark this down, buddy. The Bible is clear. Abraham was a very, very wealthy man.
Yes, sir.
Abraham could have purchased a large estate. He could have built a beautiful home. He could have had elaborate furniture. Abraham could have had everything that he wanted to have. But Abraham was content with living in what God had given him in the world. He was satisfied and content living in a tent.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, amen.
I wrote this down over my Bible. To pretend to trust God with our souls and not resign our temporal things to Him with patience and quietness is vain.
Right.
Don't you tell me that you can trust God with your soul and you can't trust Him
with your money.
Amen.
You got that little security blanket of yours wrapped up.
And by the way, folks, I'm not a bit opposed to you having a little money in the bank. Don't make trouble at all. Some of this stuff. I've got my iron, too many irons in the fire, and God's called me to preach, buddy. And I'm not getting sidetracked. I'd rather preach and eat when I'm hungry. Somebody said, I believe that's almost 1 o'clock.
Amen.
But I like the work of God. I wouldn't trade my work here for nothing. I enjoy the church. I enjoy you. I love being around you, the people of God. You're my life. I tell you, there come a day, hallelujah to God, when I lost my life, but I also found it, hallelujah to God, and I found it down at the house of God.
Amen. But he was content with what he had. Not only was he content, but he was confident in the Lord's protection. He said he dwelled in a tent.
Right.
Now, he didn't have a walled city.
He dwelt in a tent. Hey, friend, a tent is not much protection at all from attack. But he put his confidence in the Lord to protect him. Hallelujah to God. That's right. A tent offers very little or no defense against attack. But he trusted in God for his protection, his country. Then notice what it said, for he looked for a city. There's his course and his country and his city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want you to get a hold of this. In all my years of preaching the Bible, I've never seen this till right now. Cain was the first worldling mentioned in the Bible, right? Cain and Abel. Do you know what it says, I believe, in chapter 4 and verse number 17, I believe it is, of Genesis, about Cain? Everybody look right up here. Cain builded the city.
Yes.
Abraham.
Amen.
Amen.
He dwelt in a strange country.
Yep.
Dwelling in a tent.
Amen.
I'm looking for something. I'm just sojourning. I'm just passing through. I'm in a strange country, dwelling in a tent. But I'm looking for a city where the saints shall trod. I'm looking for a city built by God. Woo! Get this, hey. A tent has no foundations. But he looked for a city that had foundation.
Yeah.
Tent just got a little old ropes. Doesn't have a thing to hold it up. It's held down by ropes. Hey, this old tabernacle that I'm dwelling in, just tied down with a few old ropes. Somebody said, but you hear me well. I know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved,
right,
that I have a house,
yes,
not made with hands,
amen,
not one, yes, that I'm building myself,
that's
Brother Jerry,
right,
reserved,
yes,
in heaven for me.
Yes.
Look here. Do you know why old Abraham cut out of Haran and never looked back but looked at that city? Everybody get this. He kept his eyes on the builder, whose builder and maker is God. You know what our carnal nature is? Everybody look here now. You start building, man starts building something, people stand back and admire the building. Boy, ain't that beautiful? But I'm going to tell you what we ought to admire. The man that's building it. That fella's doing a fabulous job. Now look up. Look up here at me, little children. Don't nobody leave. See, we want to talk, oh, I'm so glad I've got a mansion. I'm looking for that mansion. Maybe you ought to be looking for the builder of that mansion. If you get the builder, you got the mansion. You get the builder, you've got the mansion. That's right, and all that goes with it. Abraham was called out, and by faith, he just kept on looking for that city. He didn't try to build a city, he looked for a city. And then, hey, look, and we'll find out tonight in the midst of it all, God not only blessed him spiritually, God blessed him temporally at the same time. What a God.
Amen.
The question is, you got faith this morning? Are you really saved by the grace of God?
Right.
Have you got a faith that will stand, or will it crumble mid the testing and trials of the course that God's prescribed for you? Let's stand together. I appreciate what God wants me to say.